All right, greetings and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Panel, the most popular comic book and TV and movie related podcast on Earth 2, on Earth 3, Earths 4 through 19, but not on Earth Prime. Today we're going to be talking about the new Deadpool movie, how it's doing with critics. We're going to talk about The Flash and Supergirl. What? They're in the same universe? It can't be. And the brand new Universal Battlestar Galactica reboot. All this, collections, and more. It's your full frontal nerdity coming up right now on Breaking the Panel.
The comic book now owns pop culture, and that's a worldwide phenomenon. Film, television, literature, even music. These days, it's all about the comics.
I am Arrow.
I'm Batman.
Supergirl?
What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for, Agent Ward?
I am Iron Man.
And I am Spider-Man.
Hulk. Smash.
We're living the comics life. We're breaking the panel.
All right, greetings and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Panel, your source for full frontal nerdity, comic books, movies, TV, everything. If it's geeky and nerdy and fits on a comic book page or on a TV or movie screen, we're going to talk about it. I am one of your hosts today, Mr. Brian Ibbett. I say Mr. I'm introducing myself as Mr. Brian Ibbett. Right there, you're hearing the laughing sounds of Mr. Charles McFall.
It's clobbering time.
I mean, Tone Loke. You're also hearing Mr. Paul Klotz.
Yeah, you are.
And you might even hear the additional sounds of a fourth host, Mr. Chris Wisdom. Welcome.
I'm back.
See, we're not the same person. The two of us in the same place at the same time.
Well, people can't
never
see
find
that.
Out my secret identity.
But you guys don't like talk to like at the same time. I mean,
hey, you can do voices. I can't see you. I mean, Jim Brewer does a ton of voices.
That's because I'm drinking water every time Ibbett's talking.
That's right. That's right. It's a ventriloquist act. All right, a lot of great stuff we're going to be talking about today on the show. Why don't I get things kicked off with the first headline? As of the recording of this episode of Breaking the Panel, we are just a couple days away from the release of Deadpool, which kind of, this is the movie that's basically going to kind of start the ball rolling for 2016 on all the comic book and sci-fi and geeky related movies for the year. Because it's not too long after this that we get Batman versus Superman, we get X-Men Apocalypse, we get Civil War, we get, you know, yada, yada, yada. And the reviews are starting to come in for Deadpool. And at least the article that I'm looking at from the Tulsa World, because, you know, Oklahoma, the hotbed for comic book entertainment, they say that Deadpool is changing the comic book movie forever. The critic goes on to say that Deadpool is all about having adult movie fun with Reynolds spouting sizzling, naughty comic asides and put-downs, working from a whip-smart raunch fest of a script that feels like it was co-written by Aaron Sorkin and Seth Rogen. The film is not for children. It's full of nudity and gratuitous violence. We kind of knew that. Its rating is a hard R, which seems like a What?
Define full of nudity, because, you know, you're getting my hopes up a little bit here.
I think a porno is full of nudity.
Yeah, porno is full of nudity. Unless, is this like, what's the Pamela Anderson? Is this barbed wire? Barbed wire was not full of nudity, but it was good.
Yeah, I think the word full here might be misplaced. Contains probably should be what he says in his, none of us know for sure, right? Who knows? It could be. Let's see. Film is not for children, blah, blah, blah. The film is also not for the faint of heart. The violence rages from, I think he means ranges, nice job, from mild torture to heads flying off and brains spilling out. It's so over the top that it demands that you either laugh or cringe, and the reviewer did both often. So, obviously, the question isn't how excited are we to see Deadpool? It's how quickly. You're going to a midnight showing, aren't you, Charles?
Well, I don't know. I found out last time I tried to do a showing of something, and I was having a difficult time. I think it was Ant-Man. I can't remember which movie was giving me difficulty. And I asked the manager at AMC. I talked to him every once in a while because it's good to be friendly with people who can get you in free stuff. So I was like, what's the deal with Ant-Man? I can't get a midnight showing. He's like, the company. Dictates the showing times, at least for the first couple of weeks. So like Star Wars, they get four theaters because of Star Wars. Well, it just wasn't they didn't think Ant-Man was going to do that well, I guess. So they dictated lesser times. I think the same thing's happening with Deadpool. Because there's literally, and I mean literally, no midnight showing for Deadpool. It's, see, what time was it? I think it's 6 p.m. for standard, not regular 3D, just standard. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 7 p.m. and a 9:45 p.m. for IMAX. And that's it. But that's on Thursday. It is the day before.
Yeah.
I was like, what? So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go Friday night. Nope. Same exact show times. I mean, noon showing, no nothing. Same exact show times for Friday.
Interesting.
Saturday has better stuff. I'm busy all day Saturday. But I was like, so I'm trying to go Thursday night to the 9:45 to see Deadpool's dick jokes in IMAX. But right. We'll see what happens.
That's a lot of grizzly coming at you.
That is, yeah. How about you guys? Chris, are you planning on seeing it pre-weekend or?
I'd like to see it pre-weekend, but it's we got to see what's going on. I've got a buddy in Kansas City that I normally see these kind of movies with, and we make a deal of it, but I haven't heard back from him yet.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Paul? Paul's already there, apparently.
He would get in line right now.
I'm
muted. I just ragged on Chris so hard. I'm not even going to do it now, but like, yeah, you can fill in the blanks. But yeah, I'm probably going to go see it this weekend, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I mean, by pretty sure, I mean, of course.
Yes, right. Yeah, these are the type of movies I usually wait for GSTU host Uncle George to go see, because he really is my Uncle George, for those of you who are new to the whole GSTU thing. But we'll see. He's in the process of selling a house, and if I have to see it without him, I'll have to see it without him. That's just the way it might have to work this time around.
You know, you might not get good show times either, so it might work out to not get a weekend.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't even looked to see what I've got. Although I'm not really a middle of the day Friday movie watcher. The only other issue is that my wife and I are trying to see all of the Best Picture nominees before the Oscars, and all we have left as of last Monday, we watched Bridge of Spies on rental. So all we have left is Brooklyn. So I'm gonna have to say, all right, how about we see Brooklyn Friday and then go see Deadpool Saturday or Sunday? Because, you know, seeing those two, I can't imagine a worse double feature than Brooklyn and Deadpool. So I think it's going to have to be compromised between a couple different nights. But yeah, really excited to see it. And here's the thing. Reviews have been coming in. I haven't looked on Rotten Tomatoes yet, but
100%
so far, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow,
that's crazy. So
freaky fresh.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's we were seeing that sort of thing with Star Wars really early on too. Is that it had a really really high pre-release, just the critics seeing it rating, which gives me really really good hope. So I'm beyond excited to see this. And apparently all that goodwill, all those good reviews are also giving the producers a lot of hope, because they've already announced that there will be a Deadpool 2 before this movie comes out. And do you want to take a guess as to the Marvel character that they're bouncing around as a possibility for teaming up with Deadpool?
Lady Deadpool.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Probably Cable, but I went with Lady
Deadpool. It is Cable, yeah. And
I'm guessing Psylocke.
Nope, it really is Cable.
Damn it.
Ryan Reynolds has gone on the record to say if he has his way, it's going to be John Hamm, Don Draper from Mad Men playing Cable.
Which I think would be good. And I know I think in that same article he was already talking to X-Force movie too. So.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy. Oh, yeah. Chris, didn't you send us an article that was like Reynolds is dead set on being in the X-Force movie?
Yes, getting it set and going.
Cool.
Honestly, and I didn't mean this as a real question, because I'd like to get kind of your insights into the minds of the studio execs who would do this. How do you say no to Ryan Reynolds? Even though he's had some critical failures, he sells like nobody's business.
Right.
He does, but you watch Green Lantern, and then you go,
No, you watch Green Lantern, and you go, it still made a lot of money at the box office.
Isn't it time to forgive Ryan Reynolds for Green Lantern?
That wasn't his fault.
I never put that blame on Ryan Reynolds. That was all. That was all Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dude was in a Super Bowl commercial, for Pete's sake, playing like 11 people in a Super Bowl commercial. So, yeah, I think this could be the great superhero comeback for Ryan Reynolds. The other thing about his comment about John Hamm reminded me how crazy it is that we haven't had John Hamm in a superhero movie yet, whether it's MCU or a DC Warner Brothers film or one of the Fox X-Men films. But the guy looks like a Jack Kirby drawing from, you know, from the 60s, from the 50s. Chisel jaw and all that. I mean, you slap Superman, you slap a Superman logo on him and he can play like the Kingdom Come era Superman. Maybe a little bit too old to do the, you know, take over for Cavill or Routh or, you know, any of the more recent ones, but certainly could pull the Kingdom Come future Superman thing.
Definitely. Well,
it's a travesty that we haven't had him in anything yet. Deadpool 2.
I think Hamm, if he doesn't do Cable, I think he could be Hal Jordan.
Oh, really?
Or who was the asshat that was Hal Jordan's? What a nemesis. He was still a Lantern, but he was...
Sinestro?
No, not the bad guy. The other...
Gardner?
Yeah, Gardner. Guy Gardner. He could be Guy Gardner. He has the humor and the toughness.
He doesn't know. You're never going to get John Hamm to put on that stupid haircut, that stupid Guy Gardner bowl haircut.
Have you seen any of his appearances on Saturday Night Live? Yeah. He loves the humor. Yeah, he's really crazy. He does love the humor.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You might be right.
John Hamm's a man.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cable is a great suggestion for him. I mean, maybe too young. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, you can make somebody look older. The big thing about John Hamm is he's got the, like, chiseled jaw thing going on that you really want out of a Cable, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're going to have to frost up his hair and everything, you know, make him all gray and everything, which should be sweet, though. Yeah, no, totally, man. He'll have to bulk up as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, dude, absolutely. I'm down.
Yeah, yeah. Be great. He'd be great. All right, shall we continue on? Who wants to talk about this next one? It's a DC thing. I know you know how much I love to jump on the Marvel things, and
well, since Charles hasn't seen Supergirl, I don't know that we should let him talk about this because he's gonna completely miss the reference.
Why don't you take this, Chris?
Well, Charles, just to give you a little background, Superman has a cousin.
I know who Kara is. Goddamn. I understand the concept of the character.
And CBS has a show. And from the beginning of the show, there's been speculation as to whether or not Flash on CW and Arrow on CW would cross over at all with Supergirl on CBS, because they're all owned by the same parent company, Viacom, and the producing staff is the same. It's all Berlanti. And so now we've got confirmation based on last night's episode. So spoilers, if anybody hasn't seen it, it's not a big spoiler, but we're reading here from the Wrap. The crossover between CW's The Flash and CBS's Supergirl got a little more real Tuesday night when the Kryptonian was glimpsed briefly during an episode of The Flash. The long-rumored crossover was recently made official, with Grant Gustin set to play speedster Barry Allen on an episode of the CBS superhero drama. Gustin will appear in Supergirl episodes set to air on Monday, March 28th. Now, it wasn't a big cameo by any means. You just kind of see her in passing, but I know that I squeed quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah. That whole sequence. Now, this is probably a good point for us to say, you know, if you haven't seen last night's episode of The Flash, or this week's, I should say, because when this thing, when the podcast finally gets distributed, I still wouldn't say it's not a big spoiler, because it's, you know,
well, they came out and said that it won't happen this season, but they are going to cross over to Flash. I thought that's what I didn't read the article.
Oh, yeah.
The headline.
Well, but this, no, that's been in their ever sliding. No, she's not, to yes, she will, till not this season. And now it's going to happen this season, because it's going to premiere on March 28th. So,
right. They've got a date and everything. The sequence, the segment that where we very briefly see Supergirl had quite a few little Easter eggs hidden in it. Jonah Hex making an appearance. I mean, and this is basically all while Barry Allen is traveling through dimensions to get to Earth 2. Again, something that was teased in the coming next week on The Flash a couple weeks ago. But you get to see Jonah Hex. You get to see
they've already version. Cast him, right? I mean, I know you get to see him, but I forget who they've casted for Jonah.
Oh, I didn't know that they'd actually cemented anyone in.
Well, you know, here's a nice little plug. DC On Screen is one of our greatest shows about DC content on the network. And their latest news show, I never keep up with names very well. Because, you know, I keep all those other Marvel facts in my head, right? but on their show, they talked about who they announced somebody was cast for Hex. I can't remember who it was, but I'm very excited. Hex is, the comics do him really well. I kind of like the movie. Josh Brolin did okay. I thought he did fine with him.
That's one I hadn't seen. So I
oh, you haven't seen Jonah Hex? It's all right.
I've not seen Jonah
Hex. It's not great. It's better than The Lone Ranger.
Oh, great. Well, that's a high praise indeed. You gonna compare it to Halle Berry's Catwoman too while we're at it?
No.
But you get to see who else? You get to see a Green Arrow with a goatee. You get to see a Legion ring, which is interesting.
I'm curious, because if this is the quote unquote crossover that they talked about, I'm disappointed.
This is no.
Also, they mentioned the Green Arrow because just lost it. The guy who plays Green Arrow,
Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell had said never to the goatee, and then he had to tweet out, "Well, I guess never say never." Yep. But
and they punished him by taking an arm.
Yeah, they took an arm away, right? But I'm hoping that just a flash through, no pun intended, is not the crossover, because I would like to see some interaction with that Arrow and with Jonah Hex and everything.
It's coming. It's a tease. Okay. Yeah, exactly. There's plenty. They're setting up a whole great side universe with Earth 2 that I think, even when this current story arc is done, it's going to be someplace that they probably revisit fairly often. So it's really cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing Arrow tonight. The recording of the show,
I'm hoping with this it'll play out the way Kevin Smith is hoping it plays out, and that we'll get to see crossover with the movie universe as well, because they're setting it up nicely, and it would help with some of those things that they've where we've seen people die on Flash and people that won't be coming back because there's talk of them being in the movie universe. Like, we're not going to get Deathstroke back in Arrow anytime soon, because not the actor, but the character is slated for another DC property that they haven't divulged yet.
Well, didn't they kill the Deathstroke in our universe?
I don't Earth know. One? No, and even if they did, the Mirakaru, I wouldn't count him dead. dead. But the actor that plays him, they're talking about.
Pop. I was thinking of Deadshot. I'm sorry.
Oh, Deadshot. Yes, and Deadshot.
I mixed that up.
But then they brought him back last night on Earth 2.
Oh, yeah, nobody stays dead in comics, man.
Right, exactly. As long as there's always another Earth.
Yeah. Well, was Robbie Amell on that one last night? Because I know he's coming back.
Who's that? Robbie?
Robbie Amell. Yes.
Yeah, he was Deathstorm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much better than Firestorm.
the bad.
The actor that plays Deathstroke, Manu Bennett, is attached to the new Shannara series for MTV as a main character. So I would think he might be a little busy at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, because you don't usually get attached as a lead on a show like that unless you're, you know, really committed. So
right.
Then again, I don't know if they're filming still or if they're filming another season or anything like that. So, I mean, there's always a chance, but I wouldn't count on it right now. Hmm. Kind of thing.
Interesting. All right.
Is it?
Well, seeing as how long it's been since I've watched any series on MTV, I'm not sure how interested I am in seeing it, but if I heard good things about it.
Can we get a reboot of The Head? That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That would be good.
Just give me Liquid Television back.
Give me real life Beavis and Butthead. If you're going to do a reality show, do Beavis and Butthead reality show. Come on.
Oh, jeez. Isn't that what the real world is?
Hey. Are you guys aware of the two words I'm about to put together? American Gods.
Oh, yeah. The Neil Gaiman novel.
Yes.
Yes. That's Netflix or HBO, though, isn't it?
I think Showtime, maybe.
Showtime. Okay.
Yeah, they're making that into a show. I was like, oh.
I knew it was something where they were going to have a lot of flexibility like that, which is fantastic. Yeah, it's probably, I think it's my favorite Neil Gaiman book. It's just really, really good.
Yeah. So that just wanted to drop that out there. It's coming.
Cool. All right, moving on. Who wants to, Paul, you want to grab this last one?
Un momento, por favor.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, I just had to pull it back up. So, why'd you assign this one to me?
Well, I just round robin.
Okay, so Universal's Battlestar Galactica reboot adds producer Michael DeLuca. I'm just giving you the blurb here. The Social Network producer Michael DeLuca has joined Universal's Battlestar Galactica reboot, which is intended to draw inspiration from the original 1978 series rather than sci-fi's 2004 reboot.
Why? You just hit the big fat disappoint Charles button.
According to Tracking Board, DeLuca was added in order to quote-unquote jumpstart the film, which has been in development since 1999. DeLuca is an Oscar-nominated producer, having helmed films like American History X, Captain Phillips, and Moneyball. According to the report, he describes himself as a huge Battlestar Galactica fanatic. X-Men director Bryan Singer is also on board to produce through his Bad Hat Harry banner, with Jay Polidoro is overseeing for Universal Pictures. Quote-unquote Transcendence scribe Jack Paglen will pen the script. I don't know what Transcendence is. I think I've
that
heard of it.
That was the Johnny Depp movie where he transfers his AI intelligence to the computer. So it is totally okay that you're unfamiliar with that. I think I'm envious that you're unfamiliar with that.
So I am with Mr. McFall here. Why the are we rebooting
Frack? Go ahead. It's okay to say Frack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why the frack are we rebooting Battlestar Galactica when we had literally, I mean, quite frankly, I think Battlestar Galactica reboot from sci-fi is the template for a successful reboot.
That's the bar.
100% agree.
Yeah. I mean, this is that you took a franchise, an IP from many years prior that was not particularly good when it was originally around. I mean, it was groundbreaking for its time, but it, by modern standards, it wasn't that great. And you turned it into the most, probably the single most important piece of science fiction television in all of the post millennium, you know, like the new millennium.
Yeah.
Because I really honestly feel like Battlestar Galactica's success really paved the way for a lot of other shows.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I've said that before, and I will say it again. I really do think that it was probably the beginning of this modern era of being truly interested in science fiction and fantasy television. Mm-hmm. Because it showed that you could take sci-fi and have, you know, a political thriller aspect to it, suspense, great character development. You know, I mean, you can run the gamut. You can do anything you want with it. It took the model of something like Star Trek, but just made it, you know, all the more serious and all the more entertaining and thrilling.
Is Star Trek meets House of Cards?
Kind of. Yeah, absolutely.
Way
before
House of Cards was done.
Right.
And, you know, you sprinkle in a little of that Lost recipe, except without all the zero payoff of Lost. But you definitely sprinkle in a lot of that mind frack that you get from, you know, from that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I don't see this as having any chance in hell, like of being successful, being anything meaningful, because if they want to produce a film with the people who are on the program, like if they want to do we're going to just do a one shot film and put it out in theaters, kind of like we got with Serenity, where like, oh, the show's over with or whatever, but we're going to, you know, go jump back in. Please pursue that. But
the difference is that there was closure with Battlestar Galactica with the TV show, right?
Really,
they wrapped things up.
I mean, good enough that we won't even talk about it in case you haven't seen it. It was really good.
I actually haven't finished the series.
Yeah.
So And this is a film. I don't know if it's the stuff I copied from the article wasn't clear that it wasn't that this isn't a Battlestar Galactica TV reboot, but it's actually a film, which is interesting. Again, like, is this are they trying to say that we don't need the diversity and creativity that we had in the sci-fi version with having, you know, a female Apollo or a female Starbuck and a female Boomer? And really mixing things up and just saying, no, we really just want to have a bunch of glamour white boys as pilots. And
well, you know, oddly enough, James Edward almost is attached to this project, but this time he's going to be Boomer. It's weird.
Nice. Can't wait. This is really just a way for them to bring back that robot dog, right? Is that basically what we're saying?
Oh, man.
I would be worried, too, because... When studios are making these movies now, and I think for the next 20 years, they don't look at these as just one movie. They look at this, they're not looking at this as the Battlestar Galactica movie. They're looking at this as the Battlestar Galactica franchise.
Exactly.
And if they're looking only to that 1970s TV show for inspiration, I think we're going to run into issues.
Mm-hmm. So. It's just so close. I mean, if this was 10 years from now, and we're 20 years out from the successful reboot, I would feel completely differently, probably. Mm-hmm. Sure. We're just too close. It's too fresh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's only been just over 10 years since it was originally rebooted, and it ran for a number of years. I don't remember exactly how many seasons. I think it was 5 or 6, right?
Yeah, 5.5 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. The other issue is, you know, they attempted a spinoff from the show, and that failed miserably. So why would you try to dabble in the same play? You know, why would you try to play in the same playground without the right equipment, you know what I mean? Because that was really what happened with Caprica. Is it's like, well, this isn't why people were watching it, you know, what they were going for with Caprica.
Sure. So. And here's another funny part of this too. The article, you know, ties Michael DeLuca and mentions stuff like, oh yeah, he did The Social Network and American History X and Captain Phillips and Moneyball. They don't mention the fact that DeLuca's most recent thing was 50 Shades of Grey. And if that doesn't fill you with hope.
Well, you know, okay.
It'll fill you with something else.
Well, they want you to focus on Starbuck curb stomping Cylons, not whatever bondage may happen.
Right, exactly. This is
the Cylon. You want to be in my pleasure room?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Maybe not a toaster this time, but another electrical appliance.
From a producer's standpoint, I've never read the books. I have no desire to see the movie, but it sold. And the people who liked the books, the soccer moms, porn, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They flocked to it. So, you know, as much as we're going to mock it, it's a good credit for him, I think. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he won't take inspiration from it.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, like... people flocked to it because of the, like, it picked up steam and controversy, and, you know, like, you would hear about it a lot. But then when people read it, like, I've seen almost universal response of, like, yeah, it's actually kind of fracked up. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, this isn't really something that we should be glorifying, because it's like, you know, obviously it's received criticisms for being wildly one-sided, their relationship in the book, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That borders on, like, abuse and exploitation, and, like, it's, you know, not good. It's not a healthy relationship that's representative of that community.
Has anybody ever picked up a Harlequin novel? Do you know what a Harlequin novel is?
We know what they are, okay. I would hope, but, like, why would we pick one up?
Exactly.
That's a thing with the Fabio on the cover, right? That's one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. They're literature. In literature, they're called Harlequin novels, but on the shelf, they'll be romance, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah, the one with the any buff guy with his shirt blowing in the wind, you know, those kind of things. I haven't either. My wife is scarred by them. When she was a teenager, she didn't know what it was. She picked one up, and her and her mom were mocking it, and they're like, just flip to any page, and there's sex, and she did. And she quotes this line from time to time. His throbbing scepter was waiting to rule. You know, this is the stuff that lonely women are picking up. That's in your public library. That's used to be on the shelves at the grocery store. So why are we even talking about the stupid book?
I know.
This is a goddamn comic show.
Because we're afraid to talk about a Battlestar Galactica reboot based on the 70s.
I'd rather spend the next 10 minutes talking about how horrible that is than talk about how horrible Battlestar Galactica is going to be.
Well, no, we'll see.
I think the worst part about the Battlestar Galactica thing is that even if this film was awesome, it's just going to hit at the wrong point. It's going to hit all the wrong notes for a lot of people, and that's what's going to make it fail. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of those things that is not synced up with the, you know, the group think, you know what I mean? Like, just it's too close.
It, not only that, but the reboot in 2004 did such a great job of incorporating the previous stuff and showing like an evolution of the Cylons and explaining how you get from what we had in the 1978 series to what they evolved into. And this one, if it's going to discount the 2004 reboot, then you're stuck back to
those horrible
chrome guys as your antagonist for the movie. And
you can update the graphics on that. So. You know, we have Doctor Who for Cybermen if that's what we want.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So I don't. I think there's a reason this is in development hell.
But yeah.
It's because you're doing it wrong. I know. Let's sign the director from Fantastic Four. Maybe he can help.
Oh, yeah. Right. He's got a great track record.
Well, let's bring Brett Ratner back in. he is great success with running franchises into the ground.
Right.
Bryan Singer, Superman Returns.
Wasn't that bad. Shut up.
Yeah. I know. I like Brandon Routh. He's a great cat.
You guys keep up this cough attack, you're going to start sounding like Charles.
I'm on board with Brandon Routh as Superman.
I am too, man. Well, but he's Adam now. I mean, that's just not going
to
change.
He's better. He's definitely better as Adam, but he's had more time to develop the character, I think. Blah, blah. Mm-hmm. All right, we got some other stuff to talk about now.
Yeah, let's talk about that other stuff. I'll lead into this. So we've been talking kind of off air and in discussions about collection boxes, these services that send you a box of nerdy items that they probably get for pennies on the dollar that they can turn around and ship en masse to a massive collector base. Loot Crate was probably the first well-known one, but since then there's been the Block series, Arcade Block, Comic Block, Nerd Block. There's
which is all the same company.
Just all the same company. Marvel has one called Collector's Core where they're working with Funko to deliver figures. I'm trying to remember the name of some of these other ones. Nerd Loot or no, what is it? There's something that Geek Fuel.
Geek Fuel,
Geek Fuel, that's the other one I was trying to remember.
Their specialty is you get a Steam code every month. Along with other stuff, but their big thing is a Steam code game. Yeah, I actually I've been meaning to mention it to Klotz because he's a big Steam game fan. But then I remember every time he talks about Steam, he talks about he has like 100 games he hadn't even played yet.
He gets currently over 300 titles.
Oh, jeez.
I said that you haven't played yet.
Yes, currently over 300.
He's talking about the same thing.
Okay, all right, my bad.
Charles hasn't been paying attention.
So, and then there's other ones like Quarterly and Comic Bento and things like that that are more specialized. Like Quarterly lets you curate things like, follow people who curate these boxes. Like Will Wheaton does one for Quarterly where you can get every month get a bunch of things that Will Wheaton thinks is cool. And Comic Bento is one where you get a bunch of graphic novels every month from all the different comic companies. So not just all Marvel, not just all DC, but kind of across the board. And recently, Charles and I both independently unsubscribed from Collector's Core. And we'll talk about our reasons for that. I don't know your reasons for that. Mine was just purely financial. And I've just decided that
it's an expensive box.
It is an expensive box. And I'm realizing that I don't care for the Funko sculpt. I think that the more I look at these, the more I realize it's just such an easy template of like the big old Hello Kitty head with the soulless eyes. It doesn't look like Walter White other than it's his outfit, right? It doesn't look like Scott Summers, except for the fact that he's got a big old Cyclops thing across his face.
Yeah, some are definitely like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's little differences in the face. Sure, I'll give you that. But for the most part, it is a big square marshmallow head with big soulless black eyes. and I'm not saying that I don't like Funko because I think that they're Vinyl Idols series is really, really cool and really well done. I've got a the dude from Say Anything, the John Cusack character from Say Anything,
sitting on
the shelf holding up a big old boom box. Yeah. And I think that their creativity is really, really good on that line. So that was my reasoning for kind of getting rid of the Collector's Core box. And I immediately took that money that I was spending on Collector's Core and said, well, maybe I'll sign up for Nerd Block, and ended up signing both for Nerd Block and Arcade Block. So they've got me basically for these boxes. But it's a great way for them to say, all right, let's reach out to these companies that produce all these toys and things. What items can they produce fairly inexpensively and 500, 5,000, however many at a time that we can slip into boxes and deliver and make it be a value for the users. So let's kind of open the table up with this one. Which ones are you still subscribing to? Like, is there anybody here who's still doing Loot Crate, for example?
I haven't done Loot Crate in a few months, but they're starting their new quarterly one with the Firefly series, and it's about to suck me back in.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because it's actually, this one's going to be a specific franchise-based Loot Crate as opposed to...
It looks like there's at least 12 in the series, I think, based on the Funko figure that's going to be included in each one. I saw like silhouettes of, I think, 12 characters. So.
Oh, cool.
Interesting. Well, they won't all be... I don't think they'll be Firefly unless they've made new ones, because when they announced their, when Funko announced they're finally doing a Firefly line, I just bought the set at once, which is five or six. It was the main characters there. But I stopped doing Loot Crate in favor of Marvel's Collector Core because it was that classic example of when you don't do it yourself, when you don't go hunting items yourself, of, hey, this box is great, 90% great. Here's one or two things we'll give away to my kids or to the, you know, if it's bad, if it's really cool, but I didn't want it, we'd save it for the show. Mm-hmm. I'd give it away. The Nerd Block, I actually get the kids' Nerd Blocks for my, they have a Nerd Block Boys and a Nerd Block Girls. And theirs are great, man. I bought those subscriptions for both my kids for their birthdays and Christmas. And they just look forward to it every month, and pretty much every item in it is right up their alley. But I never actually subscribed to Nerd Block myself. And then the Marvel Collector's Core, I jumped on board. This Hulkbuster, it sits on my desk. It's so gorgeous.
that's for me a very different Funko Pop figure. I've got it on my desk as well here because it is very different from the typical Funko Pop.
Yeah. And I still like Funko. Like, I'm looking at Wash right now, and he looks like Wash, although he does have the soulless eyes. But he stands right next to Sheldon, like, oh, you and Sheldon have the same nose and the same eyes?
Right.
There's something your daddy's not telling you? But Funko, when they go offbeat, they really go offbeat. And I've got a Dr. Tooth, or Dr. Teeth. Is it Tooth or Teeth?
Oh, from the
Muppets.
From the Muppets,
like,
yeah.
Him?
Yeah. I've got somebody got him for me. It's really cool, and he's definitive because he's a Muppet. Uh-huh. So they really made him look like the Muppet. But Marvel Core, Loot Crate was $25 a box, give or take, you know, plus shipping. But it basically comes about $21 a box if you buy a year at a time. But you get a box every month.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel was, and it so that came to. If you get the right deal, whatever. I think the first time I did Loot Crate, I got online codes. I got it for about $120.
I was going to say, yeah, the $120, $150.
Yeah.
And then renewing, I think it was like $199 for a year or something like that.
Yeah. Marvel was out of the box $191. And you don't get a box every month.
Right. You get four a year.
No.
Was it bi-monthly or was it? Yeah, that's right. It was bi-monthly.
So you get roughly six boxes. They didn't give you a number, so you might not get six boxes if they decide not to send one.
Right.
But and the whole Founding Fathers thing, I would get a crappy golden Oscar statue of Captain America. And it's not that I don't like Captain America. It's just a crappy looking Captain America from the picture. So but I've liked the figures that come out of it. But the shirts have been pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I realized when I was looking at renewing, it's like I wanted to collect because I liked the idea of the new stuff coming. And the reason I dropped Loot Crate was it got to the point of there's a box where I didn't really like anything in it. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It was cool. Like the Terminator box, I think it was. It's nifty, but it wasn't right up my alley. So I was like, nah, you know, it really needs, for the price, it needs to be better. For Loot Crate, I mean, for Marvel Collector's Core, it's the same thing. I haven't read Secret Wars yet. So while it's cool to have a female Thor, I mean, that's out there for me. That's a really cool thing. And it's okay to have a Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't remember what else was in that box. But and the comics are fine. They give a, they usually give a Funko version cover of a comic book, especially right. one-off edition thing.
Right.
But what really turned me off was I signed up through PayPal. And that's how I do most of my stuff, through those kind of things, if I want to use it for my business or whatever. And they say, well, they start coming back for renewal time. And like, well, you know, we've been just letting you know, we've had some problems with people, you know, doing an annual, a monthly renewal on PayPal. I'm like, I'm fine. I'll make sure you have your money. It's good. Nothing about, no, man, I'm just telling you. We're just letting you know that we've, you might have some problems. You might want to check it out. We prefer a credit card. I'm not giving you a credit card, man.
Cool. Really? Oh, yeah. My God.
I don't know. It gets worse. This guy, the PayPal emails me and goes, Funko has suspended your account. And so I logged into Marvel Collectors Core, and it goes, apparently the renewal is supposed to be in January. Now, here's the stupid thing. Yes, I signed up last January because I was eager and knew the box was coming, but the first box didn't ship till what, May? I want to say.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they wanted to renew again this January. But I had the money there. I mean, it's fine. But no, they didn't even try to take the money. They just said, you log in, and the wording changes 100%. We no longer support PayPal, period. So we need your credit card. I went, you know, with me debating over the cost of your box anyway. Right. And DC's putting out one that's exactly the same.
This kind of puts it over the fence.
Yeah. So for me, now I realize, for me, collecting is those out there ones. That's the ones I get excited about. Hulkbuster. I mean, yeah, that's amazing. And the reason I want to collect, I still love Funko, but I want the ones that I love. And I got to say, this past year, I've watched them on Instagram and Facebook, just as a company, not even talking about Collector's Core or anything else.
Sure.
I love Supernatural. It's one of my favorite cheesy shows out there. I've watched every episode of every season multiple times and love Sam and Dean, man. And so I'm like, oh, they're making a Funko Pop, but they didn't make a Funko Pop. They made 10 versions of the same characters and released them all at once. I'm like, oversaturation, man. Now you just weirded me out.
You went from excited about something that was going to be pretty easy to get to, oh my God, now they want me to buy 10 different characters, 10 different versions.
Yeah. And I didn't like some of the versions. But then you start noticing what you're talking about, the same shape of everything. What's different? Oh, this Dean has a jean jacket. This Dean has a suit on and a little blood splatter. This is like, but they're just, you know? So, and then they went to Dorbs. Oh my God, I hate the Dorbs.
I hate the Dorbs worse than I hate the Funko Pop.
I get it.
Hello Kitty heads.
I think Kotz, didn't you say you had a sister? Somebody said they had a sister that liked the Dorbs or whatever. And so I get the marketing value, but it just too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, my sister likes Funko Pop, but like just the pop vinyls, the original. But the Dorbs does appeal to women, I think, particularly. But I mean,
because
that's kind of
totes adorbs,
right? So I kind of have two things to chime in here with this topic. Is, you mentioned it earlier, saturation is a real issue here, right?
So
pop vinyl, there's too many fracking. I'm just going to keep using it all show. there are too many fracking figures now, to the point where it's like. I would have considered wanting to collect all of certain figures for things that I love if I felt like it was reasonable and attainable. You know what I mean? Like, so if they released, for example, Magic the Gathering ones, and they're really sharp. They're pretty cool. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to bother. I'm not even going to try, because they just, like, they released a set of five, and then within a couple months they released another. And I'm just like, nope. I don't need that many Funko Pops, you know what I mean? But if you were to like visit some of these things and release like a core set of a few and then do some cool alternates, then I would consider it, you know what I mean? It's just overwhelming. There's too many, and they've oversaturated the market. So much so that, you know, you go to Barnes & Noble right after the holidays, when they do their Red Dot clearance sale, and I bought a couple of the bobbleheads Like I got Ronin and Vision bobbleheads for half off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, which is sweet, which I was stoked about. You know what I mean? And there are others I might have gotten. I just didn't feel like it at the time. You know, I didn't really feel like throwing that much more money in the pit, you know?
Sure.
But it's just like, there's a point where it's like, well, there's just too many. You know, there's too many options. There's too many alternate versions. And it's some of them are exclusives to certain things. And it's just like, after a while, it's just overwhelming and no longer really that fun. You know what I mean? It's cool if you're like you said, Charles, if you're out and you bump into like, say yeah. you're in a thrift store or something and you bump into like one that's been traded in or whatever. And
if
you're
I
like,
find oh, that oh. glow in the dark Groot arm one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So oversaturation is a thing. And they're just doing everything now. They're just licensing anything that will, you know, let right. them.
When because I it's so them, easy to churn yeah. those out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so now my thing is like, you have a, you know, you're a company that has grown exponentially very quickly, right?
Yeah.
You have to be. So where are the high quality sculpts of like, you know, not like bust size, but like statue size, a little bit bigger than the Funko Pops maybe, of some of these characters? Because you have the process down. You can mm-hmm. make good molds. You've proven it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So why aren't you doing more lifelike stuff? You know, like stuff that people really want affordably and out of a relatively lightweight and durable material.
Yeah.
Where's that? Because that will get me to turn up and throw money at you. You know, if I can get a like a badass Spider-Man for my desk or, you know, Deadpool or you name it. And I know there are other companies out there that do things like that, but they're
not the as one, good.
Yeah. If you can give me an affordable, gentle giant-esque sculpt. Yeah, mm-hmm. especially yeah. lightweight that I can pick up dust easily.
Yeah,
right. Because mm-hmm. a lot of these are either far too expensive. They're out of, you know, they're made out of really heavy or delicate materials. Like, you know, it's difficult. And especially nowadays, like, I mean, it's the age of the geek and everybody's getting their kids into being geeks, too. So it's like you don't want to have breakable stuff that your kid's going to grab at or, you know what I mean? Like anything like that. You want stuff that's going to hold up. That's why. You know, the Funko Pop vinyls are awesome because they're made out of a durable material. Yeah. And even if you do somehow my Ronin has Ronin's hammer. If I snap off his hammer head somehow, I can glue it back on and nobody's going to know. You know what yeah. I mean? Whereas if it was porcelain or something like that, it'd be horrible.
Shattered. And you'd have pieces yeah. that you couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
had that with the Dark Phoenix resin statue where she kind of broke off a little bit.
But she'll rise again. It's okay.
She'll rise again. I keep waiting.
Yeah. So that's my feeling on like the pop vinyls is that they've just gotten so. I mean, you go into a store that really carries a lot of them. Like Walmart or Target or, you know, anything like that. And there's just shelf upon shelf of them now. And they're just, it's just like so much. Along the same vein, I feel the same way about these bundle packages, you know, the loot crates of the world. We've reached a point where the saturation is just too damn high. There's too many different services that are all competing in the same relatively small niche market. You know what I mean? I mean, nerd stuff is insanely popular and people want to buy it, but it's like you said, McFall earlier, the quality waxes and wanes, you know, when you guys gifted me, you know, you guys pitched, mm-hmm. you and Brian pitched in, got me a 6-month subscription to Loot Crate, for the holidays, not this past year, but the year before. That first kit that I got had the alternate paint scheme, the Joker from the 60s TV show Batman, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Which was amazing. Like, at first, I was kind of ho-hum about it, but then I was like, no, this is actually really incredible, and I love it. And then a few months later, I got the one with the puzzle for Rick and Morty before I even got into Rick and Morty. And so, like, I didn't value it at first, but now it's one of my prized possessions. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. But those things were too far and too, you know, too few and too far between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was just so much.
You're not like, becoming a member of this elite group. You're getting
hand-me-downs or like, you know, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
And I hesitate to put this idea out there in the ether where we can't make money off of it. But I'll tell you what I'm surprised I haven't seen yet is the Geek Trunk Club. So they will send you just an array of stuff. You keep and pay for what you keep and you send the rest back. And then you get a geek stylist who will supposedly get, you know, vector in on your likes, whether they be comics or games, and what particular ones, and then you start getting packages that are more tuned in like
cater to your kind of thing.
Exactly.
Get it's on been, that, Chris.
Yeah, no kidding. It's kind of like the Columbia House model, and old people will remember Columbia House, where you get 10 albums for a penny at the beginning, but then they would send you an album every month, or CDs, you know, 8-track tapes, whatever, and if you liked it, you just kept it and you paid for it. But if you didn't like it, you the onus was on you to send it back, so that you wouldn't be charged for it. And so that's something. It's kind of like that style of thing where look through the stuff. What you don't like, you have to send back, or you're paying for all of it, kind of thing. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
The funny part about Columbia House and BMG was the other one, right?
Yep.
Little known fact, they didn't really verify like that you were an adult or anything.
No, they didn't at all.
Yeah. I got them a lot of trouble.
you could get anything. On the one side of it, it's like you could get any music you wanted, basically, right? But the other side of it is when you never paid for it and they went to collect, you can't hold a minor responsible financially.
I got a lot of cool CDs that way.
Oh, dude, I got tons of CDs as a kid for that. And then they keep sending me the bill and I'm like,
nope.
Yeah, I don't have an income. I'm 13. I don't have an income.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I got some of my favorite albums that I've ever owned through that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I got into music. Yeah. Like, it was a valuable service before the internet really kicked off and I could like find music out on the internet. That was great. But yeah, so I could see how that business model didn't work out so well in the long run.
Right.
But I'm sure they made bank for a while.
Yeah,
I think somebody did that in the mid 2000s. There was a baby type club where you could as my kids were getting too old for it. And then when I had the younger kids, I just didn't care. I'd get them whatever I wanted anyway. But the idea was you could get all these learning toys. And the ones that clicked with your kid, you'd keep and pay for. The other ones you would send back. Or, no, it was more like Netflix, except there was a return model where you got to play with them. And they provided, it's even on Shark Tank, like season one, I think. They provided wipes. And so you clean them up. And when your kids are done with them, like they're outgrown them, you send them back. And it's not, you still pay a monthly service for as long as you keep it. But it was something like $10 a month. And you'd get new toys every month.
Oh, interesting.
So you'd get toys
that some other kid played with for a month, got bored with. And, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. That's not bad. It's overhead on that model. Jeez.
I even got you a name, Chris. You call it Mint in Trunk.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Mint
in Trunk. Well, so I really like what Chris was just hinting at is I don't know how widespread it is. Maybe you guys aren't even aware of it, but there's I don't know the name of the service, but I know there's a service out there for fashion where
men's
is trunk. That what it's okay. Yep. Yeah. Well, there's the men's one, but I know there's one. I think it originated as a women's service, right?
Yeah. And there's several. They're facing the same kind of saturation issues as Loot Crate.
Right. But what I really like about it is because I have a friend on Facebook, a girl I went to high school with. She did it and she posted the pictures of the stuff she got sent and she looked great. Like the stuff that the stylist, as they called it, that she had really keyed in on, like, you know, clothing and accessories that looked great for her. And I was like, that is such a cool thing because what, you know, that really gives you like a great feeling if you subscribe to something like that, you know, where you're like, somebody's going to sit here and cater to me personally, you know, based on the information I've given them. And then, you know, when it's a subscription service and they get to do it like month after month or whatever, that's an incredible experience because you get to like kind of collaborate on just exploring new territory with somebody without having to go into like, you know, a pushy shop or like, you know, develop a relationship with an actual merchant or anything like that. It's a little less, you know what I mean? Like it's a little less restrictive and like forced and everything. I think that's a truly awesome idea. And because that's one of the things that has been really successful on Reddit, for example, is with the Secret Santa on Reddit. You know, there's various subreddits that participate and you basically just go in and you sign yourself up and you agree to take somebody and somebody takes you. And there's like a dollar amount usually or whatever, but though some people just don't care about
the dollar. Back to 50 Shades of Gray. This is getting weird again.
but But it's really amazing because people love it when somebody keys in on what they're into. You know what I mean? And finds really cool stuff. And that's what's great about the Loot Crate thing. Like to get back to the source of what we're talking about is it's kind of that Christmas present thing, you know, like or birthday present. Somebody took the time to care about me for a minute and pick out some things that they think I'm going to think is awesome.
Yeah.
And the Loot Crate. The Loot Crates have gotten to the point where it's not, it doesn't feel like that anymore. It just feels like this is what we could get on mass deal from X manufacturers that we deal with all the time. Or, oh, we have these Loot Crate exclusives. And I'm like, it's a flipping notepad or something. And I'm like, what the what is this?
Yeah. With the word Loot Crate exclusive printed on the front. That's what makes it exclusive.
I'm like,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris. No, I was just going to say, I think stuff like that is hot garbage. Oh, but like a cultivated, you know, hand selected, you know, kind of thing is amazing. And so like I like the idea of like the Will Wheaton thing. Like I am a famous person that people like. And so I'm going to pick things that I like so that everybody else like, I mean, it's got that whole like sheep attitude going with it, I guess. But like at the end of the day, it's like, well, if you really like Will Wheaton and you align with his taste, you're going to be delighted. And if you don't, you're not. So you're probably not going to sign up for it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I offered Loot Crate to let us curate a box. They didn't respond.
Really? I can't imagine why.
I don't know either. We'd be great at it.
Yeah. I think of all the subscription services I've ever done, I don't know if you guys ever had any experience with Eagle Moss.
Oh, yeah. Like
little pewter statues and stuff.
No way. Did you do those?
Oh, yeah.
The Marvel ones?
I did both Marvel and DC, mostly the DC side. But yeah, I love those. And because each one, you know, you're talking a little 6-inch painted pewter figure, and it would come with a character specific magazine that came with it. And they look good and they're not super expensive. Those are the ones I did the most.
Oh, yeah, dude, I've got a glass IKEA case, a 5-shelf IKEA case with all two. Well, with 199 of the 200 that they released for Marvel.
What are you missing?
Take a guess. It's not one that I haven't been able to get my hands on.
Yes.
It's one that I refuse.
The hoodie strikes again.
That's the one.
What is your problem with casual wear, Brian?
You know what his problem is. So we're talking about the Scarlet Spider.
Scarlet Spider hoodie.
Oh, that's great.
You have every single other character in there, the most freaking obscure crap in there, but I refuse to spend any money on Scarlet Spider.
The completionist inside of me is freaking out right now. It is just like, how could he not complete the set? How, even if it's not your favorite or you just really generally dislike it, how could you be so close?
Because it's not like I'm sending a message to anybody.
Oh, man.
I get it, man. I get it. Well, the sum up for me, and we all need to wrap up and get out here, but the sum up for me, what I collect, I want it to be special to me. I mean, that's the stuff I buy is the things that means something to me. I'm looking over at my wife's desk. I bought her, I don't even know who made these, but Korn, the band Korn, signed up and with some company and designed basically their own vinyl dolls of the entire band. Korn and my wife is a huge fan of the band. And I stumbled across the entire set one day, and that's what I bought her for Christmas that year. And it's sitting on her desk with coupon stuff everywhere and then Korn right in the middle of it because she loves that stuff and it's special and it means something, you know. On my list, I still haven't got it yet, but on my Amazon list, I have a number of pop vinyls on there, but if you go through and look, there are stuff that's older or hard to get. It's definitely not the newest stuff out there, and the number one on my list to get is the Tupac Shakur pop vinyl, because I mean, who has that? And I'm a fan of his music. I was a fan when he was alive and a bigger fan now, and that would mean something to me, and that's what collection should be. And that's why I kind of am that's why these services won't work for me anymore, is because they cater to the masses where I realize I have very specific taste.
Well, that's the question then. You know, if Loot Crate is embracing this model where they're going to do a Firefly specific crate that may not be monthly, but it's going to be on a regular basis, and you're going to get only Firefly stuff. Is that the direction that they need to go? Like if somebody did an all Star Wars crate, I think I might
they did
consider it.
It's called the Smuggler's Core or something like that.
Your collector core, yeah.
Smuggler's Bounty. Smuggler's Bounty.
Smuggler's Bounty.
Okay. And is that's by the Loot Crate guys, or is that a separate?
No,
I think it's by the Marvel Collector's Core. Same deal.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Which I was like, I held my nose and nothing.
That's the thing they need to do. So not only say, all right, here's the franchise. You're going to get some random stuff. Are there any things in here you don't want? Like, if you don't want a t-shirt, if maybe your wife has threatened legal action if you get another comic book related t-shirt. No, I can't say I'm speaking from experience here.
You're talking about a friend.
Yeah, I'm talking about a friend.
Don't take my Skull Kitty t-shirt.
careful there. Like some editing to do there. Yeah. But if they were to give you a little checkbox and say, all right, are there any things that we might put in here that you don't want? Do you not want socks? Do you not want t-shirts? Do you not want Funko Pops? And then maybe do just a tiny bit of customization. I guess that increases their labor, because they have to now keep track of, all right, well, here, this guy, it's like keeping track of kosher meals on an airplane, right? They've got to have somebody there to kind of manage that sort of thing. But is that the direction that we think that they need to go, is not be so general nerd and kind of specific, you know, nail down, all right, you like this stuff, we're going to give you this stuff, and this other person likes these other things?
Absolutely. They're walking in towards the target. I think that's the next step, is what they need to do.
Yeah.
Keep them viable. And
I think so. I think with the saturation of the market, I think that is the way to go. Yeah.
Well, I honestly get the excitement of the mystery a little bit, but the first Loot Crate I got had Firefly stuff in it. You want to know what it was? It was freaking Chinese money. And I had to look into the book to see what the hell it was. Like, right, I remember money that. From the Firefly universe. I'm like,
yes, I totally agree with
that's
that.
Cool, I guess.
Yes, right.
So
I'm guessing all that money is still sitting in the envelope it came in, kind of like the bottom of a drawer.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm keeping it because it is kind of cool. But, yeah, it's not sitting down anywhere. I'm looking at the Firefly box now. You want to talk about expensive. 6 crates over a year, $227, man.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
That's, but I think the first figure, isn't it Jane, the hero of Canton? Ooh. Oh, man. Got me thinking.
This is that day where the money's good enough. It's going to be an interesting day.
Yeah.
You know, your money's not good enough, sir. So I will stick with Mal over here for now and not buy your box. But I appreciate the thought. I would love a subscription service that said it's going to be. Yeah, you just pick and parcel. You know, I don't want to be. Oh, we're doing Firefly, then you get Chinese money. You know, it's like, oh,
right.
We're doing a Funko box, or we're doing a box, and you're going to get a figure, a shirt, and a blah, blah, blah. And you can pick from DC, Marvel, Star Wars, or you can say opt out of the shirt and throw in an extra figure.
Sure.
You know, something like that. You don't have to tell me exactly what the figure is, but
it'll be something from that universe, from that. Superherostuff.com did that for a while, where they offered nine different boxes, and one was Avengers, one was just specific Captain America. It was a lot of clothing.
And that does get older. My closet is definitely now full of t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like yours.
Oh yeah. Those are not happening anymore for the Ibbot household.
I wonder what that does to their overhead, though, because, I mean, it would be hard to project what which ones you're going to sell the most of, but you still have to prep and be ready for them.
Well, here's the thing, is that the next month, maybe one or two of those have changed, but the other eight are still, or the other seven or eight are still the same. So, yeah, we still have a lot of Green Lantern crap to give away. Yeah. So, well, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll see how this develops over the year. It'll be interesting, and I really like your idea, and I think that that maybe it's something between now and the day that this posts.
Mike might need to edit this whole portion.
Trademark this thing. Get a trademark. Go visit a trademark.
Well, now, here's what's great about IP. We've established we have the IP. However, if we don't act on it, then it won't matter.
That's right.
So, I'm looking at the superhero stuff, Batman v Superman. Silver edition box.
He said it. Did he just say it?
I'm sick. You gotta cut me some slack, man.
V Superman.
You may also like Wonder Woman. No, I don't. I'm nothing against her, but I haven't seen her movies. I don't want her box yet. You that also, came out dirty.
Wow.
That totally came out
there's
wrong.
There's an edit, Mike.
I know what I meant, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have to check with, I do need to check with Marvel Collector Score, because if I don't get my Deadpool box, I'm going to be a little pissed. So I have to make sure. If I have to pay another $30, I'll pay another $30 to get that box, and then I'm done.
Well, in Loot Crate, they're doing the dead box, so it's living. It's Walking Dead and Deadpool.
Yeah.
Through this month.
Yeah.
Capitalize on the cancer man, right?
And that's the thing to remember, everybody. It's when you're signing up for a service, it is a financial business, and they are capitalizing. Mm-hmm. They're trying. The whole point of business is to maximize your profits. Because if it's not, I mean, yes, you need to meet a need. You need to service your clients. But if you're not there to make profits, your business will die. So just keep that in mind, you know, when you're bitching like I am.
Yeah.
Right. Know that their bottom line is to get stuff cheaply, send it out cheaply, and get you to pay what you think it's worth and more.
But I wonder if Marvel had a 1-year no compete agreement, because it took almost to the day a year for the DC box to be announced.
I don't know.
And it's a fun code DC box. It's exactly like Marvel, except it's DC.
Yeah, it could easily be then. So. They could have easily had an agreement saying, all right, we demand exclusivity for a year, and after that you can do a DC one or a whatever. Dark Horse.
I do want to mention, though, that all of these things we're complaining about, these are problems to have as comic guys.
That's true.
Nerd world problems.
Nerd world problems.
So true. Exactly. Like, yeah, if my 14-year-old self would have said, oh, there's somebody who's going to send you a bunch of comic book stuff every month. That's going to be horrible.
Oh, yeah, there's too much cool geek stuff to buy out there.
Right. Yeah. Point taken. Thanks for bringing us back to reality.
Yeah. somebody tell everybody where they can find us.
Well, you can. Is that in the show notes here?
No, usually I just do it off the top of my head. But
oh yeah, I don't do this enough to know it off the top of my head.
Well, you know the network because you built the network.
Yeah, GiantSizeTeamUp.com is the website where you can find not just this show but every show produced by the network. You got great stuff like From the Helicarrier. You got Kingfisher. You got Panel by Panel. Of course, Breaking the Panel here. We have Paul Klotz's new show, which is just on the horizon. Keep an eye out for that. And much, much more. That's all at GiantSizeTeamUp.com. And I know there's probably an email address that I probably should know because I set those up too.
I think we have Breaking the Panel at GST or at GiantSizeTeamUp.com.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure if we've tested that yet. We're going to work on that this week.
It's BTP at GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Yep. Short and form. We care about your fingers out there, people. And yes, once again, it goes back to 50 Shades of Grey.
I was thinking of the certain box and the superhero stuff.
Yes. Not the Wonder Woman's box.
Batman's box is what I was thinking of. But yeah, that's cool. And we do this every week. So, Patreon. We have patreon.com. That's in the show notes.
Let's talk about that.
You can do it, Chris.
Well, if you guys have liked what you hear here and want to hear more and let us expound, you need to go to patreon.com/breakingthepanel and help support us and help support the network.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, sure. It'll bring my voice back.
There we go. Yeah, help Charles get some lozenges. Sarah McLachlan. We need the Sarah McLachlan music in the back playing and. Sad pictures of Charles with his eyes really big looking up at the camera.
I think the threat of that's what's going to
yeah, right, exactly. If you don't join Patreon, then that's what you're going to get. Excellent. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I'd like to promise that your contributions will increase the quality of this programming, but no amount of money is going to make McFall remember shit. So, like, as a matter of fact, it's just going to distract him further with shinies. So, you know, no, but no, please, if you're enjoying our show, please support us. And we've got some ideas for some really cool exclusive stuff for our Patreon supporters once we get that ball rolling. So, you know, hit it up and you can expect some pretty sweet, sweet inside stuff.
That's more tool great. To your needs and not just some
box. Yeah, yeah.
It's not just a big random pile of crap in a box.
Right. It'll be selected just for you.
This is the dirtiest episode ever.
It really is. I need to wash
That's
my hands.
The title right there. This is the dirtiest episode ever.
Excellent. All right. Well, that seems like a very good place to wrap things up. So on behalf of Charles, Paul, Chris, and me, Brian Ibbett, this is me, Brian Ibbett, saying thank you for joining us. For Breaking the Panel, we will see you next time.